this will certainly help you. Let me pray and we'll get into this message. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we enter this subject matter, so vitally important. My every truth I get a hold of, I say, oh, this is it. This is most important. Then I find another one. Oh, this is most important. So I just believe all your word is just so vitally important to us. We just miss the truths, the principles, and I pray, God, that you'd speak to us this morning. Help us. Take away the distractions, the cares in our mind. If we're not careful, we'll miss what you have for us, the truths. And so I pray that we'll be attentive, we'll have our minds stayed on Thee, and Lord, we'll drink in Your truth, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As we begin to study on the spirits, trying the spirits, knowing what spirit is of God, I believe that God helps us to see there is a precedence. There's a principle, a vital, important principle that must first be established before you start any study of the spirits. And so if you look in the preceding two verses, chapter number 3 and verses number 23 and 24, I believe a precedent is set. A vitally important principle is laid down that must be established if you're going to understand this truth. If you're going to study and you're going to deal with trying the spirits and knowing what spirit is influencing you, then you're going to have a guideline. The Bible, you can't go by your own mind. It's not in man. If I could stay on this one thought, it's not in man to know the way. I don't care how smart he is. I don't care how much studying he's done. It's just not in him. He's going to have help from God to know the way. And so we need something. We need a guide. We need something to keep us in the right channel. And so you have that in these two preceding verses, something that's so vitally important, and setting down the pace. If you're going to enter into this study, let's look at some of this truth that I believe that help us understand. Now, in verse number 23, it says, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He have given us commandment." Now, here He's beginning to set the pace. He's going to set a precedent down. He's going to give us a ruling principle of the Christian life. This is the order it has to go in. And this is the truth that guides all other truths, that you'll have to make sure that you follow these principles. He's telling about the commandments, the Word of God. He's given us the Word of God, the commandment. This is what God's Word teaches you, that you look and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust God's Word, and it'll give you an order of your life. Commandments, it'll give you a way to live. It'll teach you how to love one another. This book is a book of the love of God, and it teaches you how to order your life rightly, correctly, how to live a proper life in obedience and submission and love for the Lord Jesus Christ and love for His family. And so it sets down this rule that the commandments of God are so vitally important, that you understand this is the ruling authority over your life is the Word of God. Now watch what he goes here. He says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." Now here's the principle He's going to lay down. He's telling us that we can know that we are spiritually influenced by the Holy Ghost of God because of our respect and obedience to the Word of God. He's saying, now here's the principle that rules and controls all the influence that's ever upon your life. Does this influence that you have teach you to obey the Word of God? If it's the Holy Spirit of God, you will be a person that will respect and revere and adhere to and walk in the principles of God's precious Word. If the Spirit of God is in you, you will obey this book. One of the ways you can know for sure. Now, this little book here is a no-so book. He writes to the little children that their joy might be full. This is the little book that's written to the children of God. And so this is a book that gives us an understanding of the relationship. It gives us a no-so. Now, this takes away the guess-so or hope-so. This gives you the no-so. Here's how you know if the Holy Ghost of God is in you. Here's how to know. Look at me and listen. Here's how to know if it is the Holy Ghost. That's the key. Here's how you can know that it is the Holy Spirit and not another spirit. This is how you can discern that you're in Him, He's in you. This is how you can have an assurance. This is how you can have a knowledge within you. It can be confirmed in your heart. You can rest assured that you're in Him, He's in you. This is where you get your guideline. This is the principle that'll rule this thing of who is influencing your life. Who's an authority? What is that spirit that's speaking to your spirit, controlling and directing your life, ordering your path, showing you how to live? What is that spirit? If it's the Spirit of God, if it's the Holy Spirit of God, you will obey the Word of God. Can I say to you, it's clear here that he is not, he's not inactive. I've tried to make this clear. One of the thoughts of our day is that the Holy Spirit of God can be in you inactive. Not influencing, not in controlling. That you can be controlling Him. You can be influencing Him. You can be leading Him down any road you want to. He'll just remain idle. He'll go along for the ride. Not true. Look at me carefully. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't go along with you. You go along with the Holy Spirit of God, or you don't have the Holy Spirit. He never goes along for a ride. You take Him no place. You lead Him nowhere. He will not be a partaker of a man's sin. He tells you not to do it. He won't do it. He'll never fellowship with a man in sin. He'll never go along and help a man in sin. He'll never remain idle and allow a man to be in sin. He does not live in a life of a sinful person. Now we got a principle here. You've got to follow. You can't look at verse 24 and read it with me again. And he that keepeth his commandments, the person that keeps God's commandments, dwelleth in Him. The person that doesn't keep God's commandments doesn't dwell in Him. And He is in him. The Holy Ghost is in him, representing the Godhead. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He's in him. The man's keeping God's commandments. He's in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God is in him. Notice what it says here. And hereby we know. Hereby we have understanding. Hereby we can comprehend. Hereby we can be assured that we're listening and being led by the right Spirit. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. I'm saying to you that the Holy Spirit of God would never be a partaker of a life of a worker of iniquity. Now you need to listen to me carefully. I know that in your mind, your thoughts are rolling, and good, I'm glad they are. I hope they're just going. I hope your mind's going 100 miles an hour. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, if you'll notice here, the Holy Spirit of God puts you in a relationship with the Word of God. There is a correlation between the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God all the time. He uses the Word. He speaks to you through the Word. He directs you in the Word, and He causes you to receive the Word. Can I say to you that this is a no-so salvation that is developed by the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you through the Word? Now, I want to put in something right here, and I want you to listen to me real carefully. Turn with me just for a moment to 1 Thessalonians 1, and I want to show you something here. Now remember back here, he's talking about he that keepeth his commandments. The key is the commandments. Now watch back here in 1 Thessalonians. You need to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5. I'm going to skip a lot of this, but notice in verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. Notice go back over to verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, listen to me carefully. I want you to listen to this truth. God never inspired his word and then asked man to give a critical review of it. This book isn't open for your opinion. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm going to show you the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you to receive this book. He led these people in Thessalonica to receive the Word of God. It came with the Holy Ghost and power, and He led them to receive the Word of God. He didn't lead them to... Now listen, you picture this. Here's feeble-minded man. Here's feeble-minded man, and he's going to look at God's Word, the infallible, perfect, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, imperfect man, feeble-minded man that can't even control his own appetite, can't even control his own mind. Now he's going to give a critical review of God's Word and tell God, this is the way I see it. This is what I think. It's not open to your review. God didn't give you a book and say, now would you please proofread it for me? Maybe it needs editing. And that's exactly... You need to listen carefully. That is exactly what most teachers on the radio are doing right now. They're editing God's book, deleting out phrases and saying a better way of saying it. God didn't know how to write a book. God didn't know how to express himself. And so a better way of saying it is this way. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God gets you to receive this book as it is in truth, the infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God without your critical review. You need to see that. Any kind of question in your mind of whether this book is right or not did not come from the Holy Spirit of God. Any spirit would cause you to doubt this book and question this book and try to figure this book out and see if there's false, see if there's error in it, is satanic. That's not your keen mind being able to analyze and scrutinize and give it some kind of a critical review. No, that is a satanic impression. The Holy Spirit of God would lead you to receive this book as it is the Word of God. And you're living in a day when there's a spirit and age like men are so intellectual, now they've discovered through all sorts of word studies and all sorts of historical facts and reviews that a lot of the Bible can properly be deleted. 180 verses in all the modern translations, 180 verses taken totally out of the Bible, words taken out of the Bible, I'm telling you. This is a day when man thinks he's reached an elevated age to where he has a right of the authority of the mind to check out God and see if God knows what he's talking about. Let me say to you, the Spirit of God leads you to do one thing concerning the Bible. He leads you to not only receive it, but to obey it. It's not up for question. It's not up for ops. It's not up for suppositions. It's not up for whether you just want to think it's relative to you or not, or whether you're convicted by it or not, or whether you agree with it or not, or whether you think you're subject to it or not. No, you need to listen. Go back in our text. And here's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead you to obey this book. It says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him.
Hereby you know, this is the way you could know, it's the Holy Spirit of God. He leads you to obey that book. He leads you to a life of submission and obedience. The Spirit of God does not dwell in rebels. He does not dwell in people that question the authority of this book, the right of this book to order their lives. He doesn't live in people that's critical of this book and say, I only believe part of it. And I don't believe this is right. I don't believe that's right. I don't believe that applies to me. I don't believe this is meant for us today. That's not the Spirit of God. Now, you need to listen to me. You need to listen to me carefully. You're living in a dangerous day. And you're called upon to check what spirit is influencing you. What spirit's ordering your life? What spirit is controlling your emotions? What spirit is controlling your mind? Who's got your thoughts and leading you into understanding what the Bible says or the way to live? There's a spirit that's influencing you. It's a spirit. And if it's the Holy Spirit of God, it'll lead you to Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm going to give you a number of verses right quick. I can't give you all until timing will let me, but I'll just give you a few. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that live in the flesh. What does your Bible say there? He came the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? The Holy Spirit of God leads you to obedience. He leads you to obedience. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 2, elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto what? Obedience. Obedience. Verse number 14 of chapter 1. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Verse number 22. Being born again, not being, verse 22. Seeing then you have purified your souls in what? Obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. It's clear. This puzzle fits together. Try to fit in there a disobedient, rebellious, carnal, fleshly, ungodly, worldly Christian. It don't fit. The Spirit of God never would lead you out into the wilderness and lead you into wickedness and go along for the ride of ungodliness. I'm telling you, it's just like I told that girl that wanted to take her life. I dealt with her. I says, I don't care what you say. Spirit of God don't lead you in that direction. Saying to you, Romans 6:16, I'll read that real quick, just Romans 6:16. I've read it. Oh, you ought to have it underlined. You ought to realize that it's such an important verse. Romans 6:16, know you not, this ought to be clear in your mind, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to, what's the next word? Obey. What does the Bible say? His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I'm telling you that, look to me, Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to know who this other crowd is. This other crowd is at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. The Spirit of God leads you to obedience. The spirit of this world leads you to disobedience. What spirit of you are? That's what he's asking. Do you know the Spirit? You know what spirit's controlling you? You won't buck up against this Bible. That's why Spurgeon said, any person you can't take this Bible and just tenderly correct him with this Bible, he says, don't pamper. This is his exact words. You need not pamper that person. They're a lost man. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you. Can a Christian transgress this word? Listen, look at me carefully so you don't misquote. The Holy Ghost of God come into this world on a mission. Come with a job. Come under the direct anointing and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will send another in my place. And when he comes, paraphrase, he won't be permissive. He'll reprove this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That'll be his job. He'll never be one to tolerate sin, go along sin, coddle sin. He'll reprove this world. He'll reprove this world. He'll reprove this. He'll reprove you, Christian, if you sin. You aren't going to get by. He isn't going to go along for the ride. He'll break your heart. He'll put godly sorrow in your heart over every sin you commit. You won't get on by with it. He won't go along for the ride for years and years and you lead him. No, he'll lead you to the cross. He'll lead you to an altar of repentance as soon as you sin. I don't understand why people can identify. Did you hear what his name was? The Bible is so careful. His name is Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Holiness is his name. He's not the spirit of tolerance and permissiveness. He's not the spirit that just allows people to live any old way they want to and go along in their sin and break the law of God. You break the law of God. You can break the law of God. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't break you down. Godly sorrow don't grip you. Where's he at? You know, you always hear old folks say, they're trying to analyze what's going on in this world. They're trying to figure out this new type of Christianity, this easy believism that you can make a profession and live in it. Do you know what old Christians say? A lot of times they just couldn't figure it out. You know what all they'd say? This is all they'd say. God doesn't let me get by with that. They don't know how to analyze it. Maybe they don't got it all figured out. But you know one thing? The Holy Ghost of God in them never let them live a sinful life. They don't know what's going on. It's confusing to them. They say, what's going on? Every time I have a thought or every time an evil attitude begins to rise in my heart, an unforgiving spirit or anything begins to dwell in me that's not of God, the Holy Spirit cuts me to the heart and puts godly sorrow in my heart that leads me to repentance every time. He never fails to check me and deal with me when I've got sin. I'm saying to you that you can know for a certain that the Holy Spirit of God, you can see that He is leading, He is influencing your life, He's ordering your path. He'll speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll speak of He's the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll teach you what is right. You can have an unction from the Holy One that you can know all things. I'm saying the Spirit of God will take you to the Word of God all the time to correct you, to instruct you. He'll constantly bring you to the commandments of God and lead you and show you when you're not right with God. I'm saying one of the ways you can know what spirit, look at me carefully, one of the ways you know that you've got the Holy Spirit of God in it is the way you treat this book. You treat it like a suggestion book. You treat it like it's really not relative to you and you can take it or leave it. Something's wrong. He said, hereby, this is the way you can know. This is the way you can know for certain that the Holy Spirit of God is in you. When you keep His commandments, He's dwelling in you, you're in Him, the Holy Spirit of God is in your life. I'm saying you can know that with a certainty. Now, I want to move on and look at verse number 1. I won't get away, but just verse number 1. Beloved, He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God. This is a direction to the entire church. This is an order for the whole church. This is a responsibility of the entire church. If you look back in 1 Corinthians 12, there was folks that had the gift of discerning of spirits. Certain individuals had gifts of discerning the spirits. This is not speaking to just particular individuals that have this gift. This is speaking of the general congregation of the righteous, the little born ones, the Christian. Every Christian has the responsibility to knowing what spirit is influencing their lives. The word spirit is a difficult word to really define. And so I'm going to, as I go through this study, I'll probably be using more of a spiritual influence, a spirit that moves you. There's all kinds of definitions for spirit. And you can have a spirit of joy, a spirit of sorrow, a broken spirit, a merry spirit. There's a lot of different spirits you could have. But this is speaking of an influence on your life. This is one that's teaching you, instructing you, controlling you, manipulating you. And so this is the spirit that you need to try. This is the one that's going to influence your life. And the Bible warns the Christian here
that we're not to be pushovers, we're not to be gullible, we're not to be duped, we're not to just grab everything that comes along that may appear to be of God. We need to put it to a test. We need to really try it. We need to examine everything that's influenced us. Is this of God? Put it to the test. I don't care how good it feels, how great it feels. We need to know, is this of God? Is this of God's Holy Spirit, or is this another spirit? What is this spirit that's got a hold of me and controlling me and influencing me? What is this spirit that's dragging me down or dragging me away from church? What is this spirit that's influencing my mind to think the thoughts that I'm thinking? What is this spirit that's causing me to question the Word of God and doubt the truth of the Word of God? Where does this spirit come from? Why am I believing this spirit? How do I know what this spirit is? And so the Bible teaches us that we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. We need to be on guard. That's why the Bible says watch. So many times the Bible says watch, watch, watch. This is one of the things you need to watch. I've been talking about preaching the last few weeks about watching your readiness. You need to watch the spirit. Watch the spirit that's influencing you. There's a spirit of slumber. There's angels are called ministering spirits. There's demonic spirits. There's unclean spirits. There's spirit of slumber. Some got it this morning. There's all kinds of spirits that just influence people. Can I say to you, we need to know. We need to know what is this spirit, this impression, this leaving a mark on my life, that's impressing me, influencing my mind, influencing my thoughts, controlling me. What is this spirit? And so we're to put it to a test. We're to watch. The Christian can I say to you, needs to be careful. So often people are caught up in every kind of wind of doctrine. That's a spirit of a doctrine. That's the persuasion of that doctrine. They're caught up by the spirit of that doctrine. And it comes from a spirit of man. Can I say to you that these impressions, whatever they might be, need to be questioned. We need to examine them. Is this of God or not? Is God moving in my life? I'm saying people often are influenced by impressive speeches, great swelling words, somebody that's just talking very emotionally. Today, it's become a professional job to be a preacher. Preachers are learning to be professional, not only entertainers. They're learning to be professional congregation movers. They know how to move. Look at me carefully. If they can't get your spirit, which they usually can't get, they've learned to move your emotions, which will be mistaken for your spirit. It's a day of manipulation. Believe me, they've got help. Just as the Holy Spirit of God is to give a preacher unction and anoint him and give him liberty, so it is that a man can have a satanic, a demonic spirit that can help him manipulate people. I remember sitting in a congregation where there's probably 3,000 or 4,000, and I watched a man get up to the pulpit, a man that's doctrinally off, way off, and I watched him approach the pulpit, and in less than 2 minutes, he could have that entire congregation in his hands. He could do anything he wanted to with them. He could make them cry. He could have them all standing shouting. He could have them sitting down weeping. Anything he wanted, he could just manipulate that crowd, and he wanted to. I'm sitting there wondering, is this of God? Is God in this thing? Try the spirits. Know whether they're of God. I'm saying there's many things that influence us. There's the sensationalism. And you've been influenced by sensationalism, people that's just giving you stories and allegories and messages that just cause you to be impressed intellectually, to where you say, oh, I didn't know that. Did you know that? And they're not even in the Bible. I've seen congregations just sit there and shout and all excited, and
the preacher not even be in the Bible. He's got a made-up allegory that has nothing to do with what the true Bible verse is, but people are all in what you say, the spirit of euphoria. Oh, wow! Victory! Yeah! Woo! And he's not even in the Word of God. There's a spirit of emotions, the thrilling, just exciting. Do you know one of the things about these mega churches? Nobody's checking the spirit. Do you know they have a spirit of excitement? They have a spirit of warmth. They have a spirit of thrill. They have emotional moving services that just move the people and excite. They have a touchy-feely, lovey-dovey type spirit. Well, certainly that's going to be of God. Key. Remember, we've got a ruling principle. Does this spirit of thrill and excitement and emotionally moving and all this touchy-feely type experience, does that cause me to obey the Word of God, to live a holy, consecrated life, to live a separated, sanctified life? Or am I just moved in the service with emotions and thrills and excitement? Does the song service, does it lead me to sing or swing? Hey, that was pretty good. I mean, there's a lot. Listen, when brother and sister Glass get up and sing, you don't see me get up and go, am I telling the truth? Does the spirit that's influencing you, does it teach you to pray or to play? Now, the Holy Spirit of God will teach you to pray. He'll bear witness to our heart that we're a child of God, we've been received the spirit of adoption, and he'll tell us, okay, door's open, you're one of God's children. Now you can cry unto him and say, Abba, Father, start praying. The Spirit of God will always move you to prayer. If you look at the spirit of these mega churches, a lot of churches today, it's leading them to play, not pray. I mean, it's all fun and games and excitements and all different kinds of activities. We've got this activity, this got this activity. You don't see them living holy. You don't see them, they can't even discern between righteousness and unrighteousness. They can't figure it out. The Christian life is just beyond them. I mean, all they think is, man, just as long as you keep the people busy, got them doing something and having fun and one excitement, one event after another. No, people ought to be able to, if you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, you ought to be seeking a quiet place. You ought to be seeking a closet and shutting the door. You ought to be wearing out your knees instead of your britches or skirts. There ought to be a spirit of prayer about you. You ought to be in the spirit of prayer anytime, all the time. Why? Because the Spirit of God leads you to pray. Leads you to pray without ceasing. He's a spirit of prayer. I'm saying to you that the spirit of this age is leading people in spiritual highs. It's leading them to a feeling and a service that emotional highs. Can I say to you, are people going to church? Would you answer me this way? Are people going to church to give something to God or get something for themselves? Would you answer me? What does the Holy Spirit of God lead you to do in worshiping God? Does He lead you to go to church so that you can get something or that you can give something to Him? Now, which is the Spirit of God? People want to go to church nowadays to get something out of it for themselves. Some thrill, some excitement, some emotional or sensual trying to involve it to where they get a thrill, or maybe their intellectual is expanded and they're just amazed at some new profound thoughts that they've discovered in the Word of God, or maybe they've discovered an error of the Word of God. Woo! Man, did you hear what that preacher said? That section just isn't the way it's supposed to be. And this, whoa, I never read that. Holy Ghost never read that either. Do you get more out of your worship than God does? I thought we came to worship God. I thought the Holy Spirit of God leads us to worship in spirit and truth. I thought He's the one that causes us to adore our God and praise our God and sing to our God. Or do we sing to be heard of men? Do we attend to where we just see if we can receive something? We do call it, maybe we need to change it. I think we call it worship service.
Is that what we call it? Maybe I'll call it slumber service. Oh, preacher, look at me real good. You need to excite me and stir me so I stay awake. No, you need to have enough respect to God where you make yourself stay awake. You're in church. You're not in bed. You don't get enough sleep, get enough sleep. You're in God's house, God's Word. You show respect for God's Word. You show honor in His house. This is the house of God. And you ought to prepare yourself. You ought to prepare yourself for this service more than you prepare yourself for anything else in life. You show God how serious you take His Word, how serious you take your relationship with Him by the very preparations you make for this service. You don't prepare your mind, prepare your heart, prepare your life to come and worship God, then you're coming just for yourself or a form. The Holy Spirit of God to lead you to a consecrated, a sober, serious walk with God to where you are serious about your worship of God. You don't take it lightly. It's not something you listen to me. If we come to this church, you tell me, listen to me carefully. Do you come to this service hoping it gets over soon? Are you saying, Holy Ghost of God, let's hurry it up. I want to get out of here. I got better things to do. I love you, God, but I'm getting hungry. Getting tired of hearing about you. Tired of sitting here. I've got things that I need to do. Things I enjoy better than sitting in church. Holy Spirit, let us say that. I'm trying to show you there's a principle. There's a ruling principle. That if the Holy Spirit of God is leading you, if He's in you, you're in Him, He's in you, that it'll have an effect upon your life of godliness, holiness, obedience, submission. You'll want to serve God. You won't have to be forced to serve God. You won't have to be shamed into service of God. You won't have to be embarrassed to live in right and dress in right. Won't somebody have to constantly put their finger on your nose and say you're wrong dressing that way and living that way and going to that place? No, no, no. No, no. You'll have the spirit of submission. Lord, it's the Holy Spirit of God will lead you this way. He'll lead you this way and this way only. Your whole heart will cry out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Where do you want me to go? Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm yours. You're His servant to whoever whom you obey. I'm trying to show you that the principle of trying the spirits is one of showing and proving that the Holy Spirit of God is influencing your life to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your spirit, all your strength. It's not a one day a week relationship. It's not a 1 hour that day relationship. As they say nowadays, it's a 24/7 relationship. Every day, every hour of the day, it's a consistent walk with God. Is the Holy Spirit of God controlling, influencing, moving in your life? Can you see the impressions upon your mind? Can you see how He's leading your life? Let me just say this. Did you know? Listen to me carefully. A true preacher does not have a self spirit. Now I'm going to try to explain that and make it clear and I'll close. A false preacher will have a spirit that'll attract you to himself. You'll become His follower. A true spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in a preacher, will cause you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't exalt the preacher and say, follow the preacher, love the preacher. And I believe you ought to respect the preacher. Esteem him highly for his work's sake, the Bible says. But Paul said this. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me and I'll lead you straight to Christ. You listen to me carefully. The spirit of error that's in man will cause you to be a disciple of that man, and you'll be identified with that man instead of being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You take, there's preachers in our day that's real popular.
And if you identify with any of his followers, you'll call his followers after his name. Am I telling the truth? You follow the liberal movement, and you'll see the ecumenical crowd, and they'll be identified with that. They won't want to be identified with conservative Christianity and the Word of God, identified as true Bible fanatics. They'll be identified as people that want to be liberal, and they're more open, and we're not legalists like some of the people. We just don't. That means when they say they're not legalists, we've got to be real careful. That means they don't care what the Bible says. Now, I want you to remember that. If they say they're not legalists, then we don't have any confining, controlling influence over our lives. We just have the liberty to live like we want to. We have such perfect liberty. Can I say to you, do you believe the Holy Spirit of God gives you liberty to live the way you want to? Does He draw a straight line and say, this is the way, walk ye in it? Is it a straight and confining, narrow way? Or is it a broad world where you just have just a relaxed liberty to go here, do this, wear this, live any way you want to? Is that the Holy Spirit of God? There's a spirit of influence. Try the spirits. Know what's influencing you, where it's leading you. Why do you feel like you feel? Why do you believe like you believe? Why are you moved like you're moved? What is moving your emotions? What's moving your thoughts? What is moving your desires? What is influencing you spiritually? How does it change you? How does it treat you or teach you according to the Word of God? Does it bring you back to the Bible constantly? Say, the Word of God says. But the Word of God says. Don't say, well, I just believe this way. And I just feel this way. Beloved, don't be taken up by everything that comes along. It just tries to persuade you, influence you. You better check. You better put it to the test. You better see if it's causing you to love God's Word and obey God's Word and keep God's Word. God abides in the Holy Ghost personage in the life of people that walk in the light. Now, you can take that all the way to heaven. That's the way it reads in heaven. Just like you're reading it here, it's the way it reads in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe that he's got another translation, another version, another... I don't believe his reads any other way. I believe when I read this, I believe that's just the way that copy is sitting in heaven. It's recorded and established and settled in heaven forever. Not going to be changed by the revisionists. Not going to be changed by Tyndale publishers or Nelson publishers. That's the way it reads, just like that. I don't care what the modernists say. I don't care what Chuck Swindoll says or Charles Stanley says. I don't care what David Jeremiah says. I'm saying to you, the Bible is true. It's perfect. And the Holy Ghost of God will cause you to love this book and believe this book and esteem this book, revere this book, and obey this book. Who orders your life spiritually? Who directs your ways? And what has influenced you to be the Christian you are? The Bible? The Bible? Or your own opinions. Your own private interpretation. With that, you can do anything you want. With your own private interpretation. See, the Holy Spirit of God, as I said, we set on a mission. He's sent here to keep you right. He's sent here to guide you right. He said he's going to send the Holy Spirit of God. And here's what he'll do. This is what he'll do. And he will do what he's come to do. He has power to do what he's sent to do. The Bible says when he has come, he will. He'll not try and fail. He will. He'll not attempt and get discouraged and give up on you and just let you go your way. No. He will guide you into all truth. That's his job. He's not going to fail in his job. He will personally take control of your life. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He will personally take charge of your life and he'll guide you in all truth. Every bit of self in your life, every bit of self. You see, the false preacher will exalt self. Look at me. Don't you think I'm impressive? Don't you think I'm great? Don't you think I'm intellectual? Don't you think I'm funny? Don't you think I'm smart? Don't you think I'm great? The false preacher will exalt self with a spirit of self.
But the Holy Ghost of God, He'll speak of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He'll exalt Him. You remember this years ago? You don't hear it much. You don't hear it much. Old preachers, a lot of times, used to get down behind a pulpit, or they get down praying before they preach. They say, "Father, hide me behind the cross." They wanted to be hid. They didn't want to be seen. They didn't want to draw attention. Apostle Paul, when he's preaching in 1 Corinthians, said that your faith stand not in the words of man, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't want your faith to stand in great swelling words and intellectual words or the wisdom of man, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. He exalted Christ. I don't want you to think that I'm impressing you and I'm smart. And Paul knew many languages and Paul was very intellectual, but he didn't want that. He didn't want people to think, "Oh, you're great, you're smart." No. He said, "I want your faith to be in the Lord Jesus Christ." So we said, beloved, try the spirits. Yes. Put them to the test. Are they leading you to submission, obedience? Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God? Are you obedient to the Word of God? Do you walk in the light? Do you walk in the light? Does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness to your heart and tell you, "This is the way, walk ye in it, thus saith the Lord"? Can you feel His correction? Can you read His Word and it comes alive? It's the Spirit that giveth life. That book without the Spirit of God is a dead letter. You won't get nothing out of it without the Holy Spirit of God. Which things the Holy Spirit speaketh, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit of God opens this book, guides you through this book, leads you through this book. It's his job. Try to be respectful. I try to be reverent. I try to go in fear of God, but I often pray that, "Father, you promised the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truth. I need help." You think you know it all? You got it all down? Got this book all figured out? Boy, I don't. Man, I'm elementary. I read that Bible and say, "Oh, man. Oh, that's so far above me." I'm looking at a couple of verses in here now we're going to study, and I said, "That's so beyond me. I don't know how to deal with it. I've got no idea how to deal with it. I'm still approaching it, and I've got no idea how to deal with this thing that one of the key factors is that you believe Jesus Christ come in the flesh. I don't know how to deal with that. I'm meditating, studying, but I got a helper." The girls sing that song, "Lean on Me." Sometimes I about fall on him. I don't have it. I'm dumber than a box of rocks. I just don't know. I can't figure this out. I don't know the way. I don't know what that verse means. That's beyond me. And I think half these commentaries are crazy. They're following Calvin or they're following somebody. They're trying to impress somebody. They're trying to impress somebody else. I said, they missed it. Look what they produced. Antinomian Christianity. Another word for that is lascivious grace. Here's the test. You want to know the Holy Spirit of God's in you? You want to know. You want to know that that Spirit that bears witness to your heart is the Holy Spirit. See, there is a Spirit that will say, "You're all right. Don't fret. You're okay. You're good. You're good to go. Don't fret. Don't listen to that conviction. That's just some man trying to trouble you and stir up your mind and confuse you. Leave it alone. You're all right. You made a good profession. That's all you need. You're all right. You believe in God. You're good to go." Or is it the sweet Holy Spirit of God that takes you to the Word of God all the time, corrects you, guides you, gives you understanding, puts a fear of God in your heart? Before I get done with this series, I want to deal with the wisdom of God is first pure. He's been burning that in my heart, and I pray I'll not forget it in dealing with this thing. The Spirit of God will always move you to purity. Always. Never fails. He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. First, He'll lead you to purity. Then He'll make you peaceable. He'll take away that contentious spirit. Take away all the envy and strife out of you. He'll make you peaceful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Father, thank You for the time together. Are we anxious to go? Are we tired of being in Your house? Do we treat Your word as though it's something we have to endure and we don't want to waste our time? Father, I pray in Jesus' name these things would cut us to the heart. Oh, it's good for us. Good for us. Cut us. Make it sharp. Make the sword sharp. Discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart when they're so hypocritical at times. Smote us. Smote us good. Turn us again, as the psalmist said. Turn us again. Have Your way in the life of each one of these people. Awaken us to righteousness, I pray. In Jesus' name.